Chapter 16, Preaching in the Light. Father's appearances grew more and more infrequent. I delivered Micah, the first of our four children, in the spring. When all of the babies were weaned, the three Marys, Miriam of Tyana, Mary of Bethany, and cousin Miriam, my husband Andrew and I began our teaching throughout Provence. Our message fell on receptive ears, as many of those in the area were of a similar heritage and had heard of the Messiah that had come to deliver them out of darkness. These were not the Nazarites and Zealots that required a military leader to overthrow the yoke of Rome. However, there was an unspoken reality that the walls had ears as long as the Romans ruled, so most of the meetings were held first in caves and then in private homes as we moved northward into what is now known as Northern Italy and Eastern Europe. For 3 years, we traveled, sharing the message of my father and mother with those with ears to hear. It is no coincidence that most of the churches in the area are dedicated to Mary Magdalene. Eventually, Rome became aware of our presence and called us into audience. It was with some trepidation that we rode into the mighty city of Rome. Indeed, we had seen cities before, but with each step the apprehension increased as we came closer to the seat of power of the vast kingdom. We were kept waiting for several days until the mighty Emperor Nero was able to grant us audience. When finally we came into the presence, it was my mother, Mary of Bethany, who stepped forward to address the power. In the beginning, he was cordial, taking some amusement that it was this lowly woman who was daring to step into the shoes of the goddess. When she spoke, it was unlike anything he had ever heard before. As she spoke, it was with knowing of his soul and its desires. The words found resonance until even he, who could move mountains through fear, felt the power to do the same with her loving message. The more he questioned her, the deeper he was drawn into the spell of her message. In contrast to the men who daily bombarded him with the tales of sorcery and subterfuge at the hands of such women, this one spoke of truth and love in terms so knowingly that he longed to have that certainty. It was a message that resonated deep within his soul. Nevertheless, he knew that to forsake everything that he stood for and believed and follow this simple teachings this woman professed would hasten the fall of him, Rome, and all it stood for. This may be the truth, but this was not the time. She had convinced him, and that was enough. He would let them go, and perhaps someday they would walk together and share the folly of what might have been. The world was not yet ready for the kind of peace she foretold, but maybe someday it would be. He gave them safe escort, and they left Rome, aware of what might have been in another time and future to come. For one bright, fleeting moment, he saw the future and wished he had it in his power to make it so. Both Peter and Paul were executed under the rule of Nero.